Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'd be listening to. Right here, YouTube.com/Stephen Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit a rating. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notify bell, and then leave a rating or review on the iOS podcast app if you really want to help the show and support Going In Raw. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Stephen Larson. We've got 45 very patient souls.
Yes.
Watching along with us.
It's been a couple of days rife with technical issues.
Holy moly. My goodness gracious. What
so is our apologies
going
for
on?
Things being a little out of sorts. We're working on it. Hopefully
we need to get
from
that
here
office
on out.
Space.
That's a huge part of it,
we
yes.
We need office space with like a table in front of like the production table thing.
We just need stuff where it's always going to be without cables being constantly moved.
We need breathing room.
But more than anything, we just need things to be where they're going to be.
Did you ever text the numbers? I told you to text those numbers.
No, I didn't know if they were.
You should text numbers. Everybody uses cell phones these days, man. Anyways, huge episode for you guys today. Big SmackDown recap. Oh, we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. Look at these shirts. Look at all those shirts right there. They look great. Oh. They look fantastic. Oh, hey, you know what? Screw that one. Mecha Santa. ProWrestlingTees.com/.
Sale may be over, but the t-shirts there remain.
They remain. Exactly. So, huge episode today. New Infinity Wars trailer dropped, Larson. We're going to do an extended break.
This isn't podcast for the win, Steve.
You're right, because you're in a good mood. Man, you used to be grumpy during those podcasts.
Sometimes.
Oh, man. Now, this is the wrestling podcast. We're going to talk SmackDown.
Did you just change the name of the show?
What I call
it? Are we now the wrestling podcast?
Now, we are the wrestling podcast. Well, yay, Dave Meltzer can call himself the Wrestling Observer.
Well, I think we call him the Wrestling Observer.
I wonder if sometimes he calls himself. If they say, hey, how's it going? I'm John Smith. And he says, hi, how are you doing? I'm the Wrestling Observer.
Highly doubt it.
Probably not. Doesn't seem like something he would do. I would. If I had a popular wrestling newsletter called Wrestling Observer, I would say hello. I'd be like the Warrior.
Legally change your name to Wrestling Observer.
I changed my name to Wrestling Observer. Look at we look all like I didn't fix the color saturation, so we look like we're like in a freaking, look at that. We look like almost black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
every
day is something new
choice.
Here. Every day is something new here going in.
Yeah, around. We're here to talk about wrestling though, so I suppose that's the one constant.
Yeah, that's one thing we do. So we got a glimpse of Captain America with his beard. That was pretty cool. Guardians of the Galaxy.
We're not talking about Infinity War. I haven't seen the full trailer yet.
Not missing much.
I may never.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really care about comic book movies anymore.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
You know, a lot of the Star Wars, you know, I'm a huge Star Wars guy.
Yeah, man.
I love Star Wars.
Yeah, man.
I really have been keeping track of all of the info and material released thus far for The Last Jedi. I'll just go see it in the theaters.
That's good because you get to, you know, you avoid any of the spoilers for The Last Jedi. There's some good trailers for that Last Jedi movie.
Yeah, I mean, there was a commercial on Raw the other night or SmackDown last night for it. So I watched that, but I don't go seek it out.
What did you think about SmackDown last night?
It was all right.
In a nutshell.
It was all right.
There were some actually fairly decently big, there were some decent moments.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree. Look, here's the thing. Sorry, I'm just going to say it. When I hear the name Randy Orton in the main event, I don't care. I don't want to see. Unless Randy Orton is engaged in something that's interesting. But why is Kevin Owens all of a sudden sweating Randy Orton? This is kind of my thing with like the whole Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing right now. Is that all of a sudden Kevin Owens? Like there was a time when Kevin Owens was like, yeah, I'll take on anybody.
Yeah, I know.
He would pick and choose his shots.
Yeah.
But he would stand up to anybody. And last week, what were we left with? Him on his hands and knees, begging to Daniel Bryan.
Not to fire him, I know.
That's not the Kevin Owens that I want to see.
I know.
So, I mean, I was happy, I guess, with the outcome of the main event this week. But I don't know, man. I feel like anytime Randy Orton's involved with anything, it's kind of when you're treading water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's not involved in anything big.
No.
Was Shinsuke Nakamura even on the show last night?
He was not.
Is he on tour? So is he gone somewhere?
No, I don't think
so. Is he doing something else?
I don't know.
He wasn't on the show.
He wasn't on the show at all. Doesn't necessarily bode well for a WrestleMania match against AJ Styles, does it?
Yeah, I guess not. Anyways.
Let's talk about the actual show. Started off again with Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
It's the new thing, apparently, where he comes out and talks.
Yeah, I don't like it because he sounds like he has a head cold. He sounds like me right now.
Yeah.
Only not as excited to be doing this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he kind of recaps what happened at the end of last week's episode.
Yeah.
With Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, the Lumberjack match, Daniel Bryan's involvement in it all. Daniel Bryan comes out and he kind of stands up for Owens and Zayn.
And himself.
Yes. Saying, you know, he's all about giving people second chances.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see what Owens and Zayn did as necessarily betraying SmackDown. They were grabbing that brass ring.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to be just your yes man, which, of course, prompts everybody.
Yeah, it was clever.
It was clever. And he said, I'm all about finding the best talent and giving them the chances to succeed here on SmackDown Live. And he recognizes that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are great talents, which they are.
They are. He has phenomenal talents.
Phenomenal talents. I was kind of hoping, to be honest with you, I was kind of hoping we'd see like a Daniel Bryan heel turn, you know?
Yeah.
I want him to form an alliance with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think it'd be fantastic.
Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You love that phrase. Yes, I think it'd be great. I don't think we're going to get it.
Probably not.
Because the crowd would just side with it. Wherever Daniel Bryan goes, the crowd's going to side with it.
Yes,
with
I know. Him. I know.
And you know,
it would end up being a face turn for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
They kind of like, I'm not going to say it was a goof. But at some point, I think it was right before the main event, they showed, it was like, I don't know what the promotional aspect of it was, but they did a flashback to 2014 when he did the Daniel Bryan sit-in.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, it was so good back then. Mm-hmm. Like, he was so flipping good.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Shane McMahon said, that's fine. We're going to have, number one, Sami Zayn is going to be barred from ringside tonight in the main event. And number two, it's a no DQ match. So at that point.
Well, Shane's rationale, I don't know if he exactly spelled it out, but I would suppose would be so Orton wouldn't have every means at his disposal to gain revenge.
There would be
Kevin
no
Owens.
Limitations to the violence he can carry out in Kevin Owens. Although I still maintain that no DQ matches are silly unless both guys immediately start the match trying to kick the other guy in the balls.
Yeah, the front area.
The front area.
Yeah.
Because if it's no DQ, you can't get DQ'd for doing that. So immediately start trying to play dirty. Immediately go for the eyeballs or the bollocks.
Yeah.
And then immediate advantage.
Yes, I agree.
Didn't like Baron do that to Dolph or Dolph do that to Baron once? That was great.
Yeah.
It was the only time it ever made sense.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Sami Zayn barred from ringside and it's no DQ. So what would then happen if Sami Zayn did show up at ringside?
Or just anywhere in the arena.
Would we then be looking at a DQ?
No, because no DQ.
Right.
I know. When I heard that, I thought the same thing. I was like, this doesn't make a ton of sense.
It didn't really make a lot of sense.
When you pair those two things together.
Right.
Like, have Sami Zayn come down, but have Randy Orton bring someone down.
Mm-hmm.
To have his back.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
Even the odds.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
And that way, if Zayn is taken out of the equation,
mm-hmm.
and then Orton could have someone else there to help him beat up on Kevin Owens.
Yeah. There was a backstage segment with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and they approached Daniel Bryan. What were they crowing about?
I think just how unfair it was that Shane was barring Sami from ringside.
Yeah.
Making it no DQ. And I think Daniel Bryan said, you'll be fine.
Wouldn't every heel like no DQ? This is what bugs me about it. If I'm Kevin Owens, like, shouldn't you be like, oh, sweet, no DQ. I'm the bad guy in this situation. I have no scruples.
Yes.
I'm fine taking advantage of the no DQ thing.
Yes.
I'll hide a bunch of weapons.
Exactly.
And if Sami Zayn comes out and assists me, guess what? It's no DQ.
Yeah, he's not going to lose a match.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
That was kind of silly. Anyways, next up, The New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
Big E had pancakes.
Yeah, that's their new thing, man.
Handed them to the Usos. The Usos were genuinely
mm-hmm.
delighted by the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were having a hard time containing their laughter. It was actually a really funny bit because they were passing them down to the commentary desk.
Mm-hmm.
It was all really good.
Yeah, no, it was awesome stuff.
Did you see the New Day have a book coming out?
Oh, I didn't notice that part. I must have looked away.
No, it wasn't advertised during the show. Okay. I got an email about it today. Or no, it was on Twitter. Sorry, it's on Twitter. Oh, I apologize. Okay.
I was about to rage. Check
it's available emails. To pre-order.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. What is it about?
I forgot what it was called.
All sorts of shenanigans and silliness?
Yeah. It's about booty. Hold on. Continue talking.
That'd be awesome if it was actually about booty. Anyways, this is a fun match.
Yeah, it was.
I kind of feel like they should be booking Benjamin and Gable a little stronger, though, because New Day went over in this match. Not really sure what the point of that is. The do they have a name? Shelton Benjamin and Chad and Gable?
Just Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable.
They really need a name. Anyways, they need to be racking up wins in advance of they have a rematch with the Usos coming up, right? They need to be booking wins. The thing that I did like about this is that the Usos were sitting ringside for commentary.
Yeah.
I like the little fun interplay between the Usos and the New Day.
Yes.
Like, because they're friends now. They've been through the wars together, the battles together. They have an Us truce. So I think that's good stuff. Xavier Woods pinned Shelton Benjamin after an up, up, down, down. Yeah. Hey, you're not me.
The Book of Booty. That's what it's called.
I don't think there's going to be any actual booty talk in that book.
The Book of Booty, shake it, love it, never be it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
I might have to get that. It sounds like it should be fun.
You ain't got your phone, man. You're on your phone too much in this podcast.
Well, I'm doing research.
People keep complaining about the fact that you're always on your phone.
I'm never on my phone during the show. That is you, in fact, and I'm actually doing something to answer an issue brought up during the course of the show.
Speaking of answering issues, apparently we got confirmation that the Garvins were storyline where they were kayfabe brothers.
Oh.
But apparently Jim, one of them was the other's stepdad. Maybe somebody was trolling me. I don't know.
That's weird.
That is kind of weird. Now that I say it out loud, when I read it this morning, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
But then you say it, and then it seems strange.
Right, exactly.
Next, Charlotte and Naomi were backstage talking.
This was terrible. Man, I don't know who they have writing the dialogue for the SmackDown Women's Division,
but it's
universally bad.
Yeah.
It is really bad. At least Naomi can kind of come off legit when she's saying bad dialogue. Charlotte cannot.
Yeah. Ron Garvin is Jimmy Garvin's stepfather, according to Wikipedia.
Ron Garvin. What's the age of difference?
Jimmy Garvin's 65. Ronnie Garvin is 72, so 7 years.
So I'm 39. It'd be like me being the stepdad to somebody who's 32. Be like Devin being 32. Little weird.
It's kind of strange.
Little weird. It was weird. Anyways. Hey, Ron, you hanging out with my mom tonight? Anyways, next up. Oh, this was great. Hype Bros versus the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
Bludgeon Brothers.
Luke Harper's great.
They're both great,
Luke
man.
Luke Harper's great.
They're both great. Luke Harper is great, though. Yeah, another squash match. It was fantastic. They completely destroyed the Hype Bros. Completely and utterly, to the point that Tyler Durden of the Hype Bro, the ego, I guess, split in half.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley finally destroyed Zack Ryder.
He essentially punched Zack Ryder in the ear.
Yeah. Ah, my ear.
He punches someone in the ear.
Yeah.
During an interview that Zack Ryder was doing, Mojo was behind him, kind of internally.
He was stewing, man.
Yeah, trying to decide what to do. At first, he seemed hesitant about the heel turn.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of it,
he was all in.
He was screaming, the Hype Bros are dead.
Yeah.
While punching Zack Ryder repeatedly about the head and neck.
The crowd was loving it. They started chanting, this is awesome, and you ain't hype.
Yeah.
Which was my favorite. That's great. Because really, it wasn't hype. It was awesome, but it was not hype for him to do that. So now, Hype Bro no more.
Yeah, Mojo.
Mojo.
Heel Mojo. I can't wait. This is going to be good.
I hope he gets screen time.
I know. I hope he brings back the Zubaz shorts.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's what I really hope. Is he still going to be hanging out with Gronk, though? Is Gronk going to be heel?
Oh, I think Gronk is a tweener. I think he's above heel face
dynamic. I was going to say, I think Gronk is above heel face spectrum, yes.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Mojo did a very brief interview.
I kind of feel like Mojo is always, like when they go partying, Mojo's always the one who wants to take it further, even more than Gronk.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you can kind of be healed.
Yeah.
Like doing too much coke isn't that far gone from like, hey, let's go murder some people. Kind of like.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty significant difference.
In the same ballpark, though.
But
on the same football
backstage,
field.
Backstage, Mojo was interviewed briefly. It was serious Mojo.
Well, yeah, he's healed Mojo.
What did he say?
I'm healed now.
No, he didn't say that. I should have made note of it. Because it was just like one sentence. It was good.
He didn't say something like, this has been a long time coming or something?
Something like that.
Maybe he was just saying that while he was punching Zack Ryder. I don't know. Anyways. Next up, we had a Bobby Roode interview. Man, he needs to get out of Facetown very quickly.
Or at least like take whatever the writers give him and tear it up.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And just do his own thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those two things. I kind of feel like the scripted dialogue is not working for him.
I think you're right about that.
I feel like he's more worried about remembering his lines and putting on performance.
I mean, look, man, memorizing lines is not all that. It's not that easy. I could see how that's a difficult thing for some
people. Especially when you're
giving
your lines 10 minutes before you're supposed to shoot.
Right? I know, exactly. Like, he's older. He's like our age.
Yeah.
He's like 40.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. At this age, I'm not learning new tricks, man. Whatever I've learned in the past, that's what
you
I got.
You give me a page and a half of dialogue memorized?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
I might get the first sentence down. After that, I don't know what's going to come out.
I'll be like, Charlie, line. No, Dasha.
Dasha, line.
Dasha, line.
Dasha, Baron, line.
Baron,
line. Baron, line.
Even Baron can freaking memorize his scripts.
I know.
Because all he has, they only give him like three sentences.
I know.
Hey.
Bobby had quite
Hey is one of them.
Bobby had quite the spiel, though.
Oh, my God. It was
talking
like,
about how Baron called him absent-minded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm impressed he memorized all that because I would be able to,
like a whole
I'd be
freaking,
stumbling over everything.
Oh, yeah, totally. That'd be terrible. Even Ruby Riott had a lot to say, and she got it pretty good.
Yeah, she's good.
I sort of pay attention to that these days. Like, when somebody's up there and they're talking, I'm like, man, they've been talking for a long time. Let me see when they're trying to remember stuff.
Oh, I can see when Bobby Roode's remembering his lines. He takes these extended pauses between sentences.
He does, I know. And it's so disheartening because when he's off the cuff or a heel or whatever,
he's so good.
He's so good.
He was so good in NXT.
But then he's just hanging out backstage in his bathrobe.
And why does he have to wear the robe all the time?
I don't know. What's up with
the robe? He only should wear the robe when he's on his way to the ring.
And I mean, here's the thing. Like, even if he was just shirtless, even if he was just wearing his trunks ready to go, like, that's, you know, do that. You never really saw, like, Ric Flair in promos, he was dressed to the nines. He wasn't always wearing his robe.
I know.
Have him be dressed like a businessman. Immaculate suits.
I know, like he was in NXT.
Right.
Bobby Roode was prime Bobby Roode in NXT.
He was best Bobby Roode, man.
In NXT.
Yeah, in NXT.
He was such a good character.
Yeah.
His character was so well-defined. He was so good at performing that character. And then they just completely changed my main roster, and now he seems like he has no idea what he's supposed to be doing.
I know, man.
It's lame.
At least he has a feud now with Baron Corbin.
I know.
Last week when Baron Corbin called me absent-minded.
You don't like that.
I didn't like that. But this week, now
Baron,
I'm going to...
Baron line.
But maybe...
What do I say? That would be me, totally.
And then Baron steps into the frame. Hey!
Hey! I did like it, and someone pointed out it was on Twitter. I apologize for not noticing who said it, where, Bobby says, hey. See, look, I can't even talk now. I'm not even memorizing any lines.
Right, yeah, I know, right?
Where Bobby says, hey, let's have a match tonight for the U.S. title. And Baron does the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. That was great.
What a great idea for a new contest. Because, you know, we got the new contest at the Kayfabe Corner. I replaced that.
Yeah.
For our NXT one. Every week, one of us will come up with a short spiel of dialogue. And I'll print it off. I'll let you... you can have the paper, like...
Like
during the pre-show.
You get to read it once. Or you get it 10 minutes before you actually start the show. So you have to remember, you have to sit through the entire show and then try to remember it.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, they probably get it up until camera time.
Yeah.
I mean, they can probably look at it up until camera
time. But I don't want that to be a thing where we're distracted trying to memorize our lines while we're trying to do it like a show.
No, I agree.
Reasonably entertaining.
I think it's a good idea, though. Maybe just for the post-show. It can be for the patrons out there.
Excuse me.
Anyways. So they're going to fight for the U.S. title at some point. Baron just said not tonight.
Yeah.
Next up, we had the Bollywood boys, the Singh brothers, versus AJ Styles in a handicap match. But but it's really a handicap match against them because AJ Styles is the best in the world.
Yes, he is.
And then Jinder came in looking amazing.
Yeah, he had this great suit.
Because they gave him an intro, and they said their future two-time WWE champion, Jinder Mahal, which at this point I kind of hope that happens.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It is not going to happen.
He looks great, though, man.
His suit was fantastic. He's been wearing a steady string of fantastic suits, but this one might have been tops.
He's great.
It was fantastic. So he comes in. Before the bell even rings, he attacks AJ. He attacks him. The Singh brothers attack him. Apparently that attack lasted all throughout a commercial break.
Yeah.
Eventually the ref broke things up, asked AJ if he wanted to start the match. AJ said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Match starts. Singh brothers have the upper hand for a lot of it because AJ is still dealing with the effects of the beatdown pre-match. Eventually, AJ gets the upper hand, does a second rope Styles Clash.
That was fantastic.
Using Sameer Singh onto Sunil Singh.
Sunil Singh, yeah.
And then pin Sameer.
Oh, I love it.
It was fantastic.
It was great. And then AJ escapes the win. Jinder comes in and annihilates the Singh brothers, and one of them took a bump that looked really nasty because he landed.
Sameer.
Sameer took the entire bump on like his elbow, basically, like this. And I'm like, that could jack up both your elbow and your shoulder.
Yeah,
really,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
Sameer is not afraid to take some bumps.
No, but I also feel like sometimes he, like,
he goes all
out. Shouldn't he have just done this and taken the entire brunt on like his?
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to
but
do.
But I think he just wants to make it look cool.
I think this is a mistake.
Well, I think maybe putting the elbow back is just your natural reaction.
I think it is. I think that.
I think he also kind of. Landed
I don't think on he it. Did it to try to make it look.
No. Yeah. But I think he really tried to sell, and he ended.
Oh yeah, no, he's great at that.
Going down on his shoulder versus his back, so he put his elbow.
He's
down.
He's so
break,
good at that.
Break
man.
His fall. That's just instinct.
So, anyways,
There was a report today that I think PW Insider that this was WWE writing the Singh brothers off TV.
That's a bummer.
It is.
I mean, it definitely looked like that.
Could be. Yeah, this is the second time that Jinder has attacked him.
Has it been a? It hasn't been a year since they got called up.
No,
I don't know what their contract status is like.
Oh, I don't know either.
Yeah, it'd be a bummer. I mean, you know, we've said this before. It'd be great to have them in the tag division. At the same time, they're not entirely believable. It's like a couple of Ellsworths.
Yeah, they're not.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see that. I mean, these guys are wrestling in their freaking Sunday best. They don't have gear. I mean, they used to have gear when they were the Bollywood Boys. So I don't know. Hopefully they find some. Maybe they need to go back to NXT. I don't know. I don't know what they can do.
I know it'd be a bummer if they broke them up because I feel like they're such an important aspect of Jinder's.
Oh, it's great packaging.
Overall packaging.
He looks great. I mentioned this yesterday. I mentioned it again today with the Riot Squad. People look cooler when they've got like a posse. You know, I'm sitting there. I got you. I got Hilton behind me. I look great. You know what I mean? Or vice versa. If you're in front. Me and Hilton are backing you, you know, the little tiny guy in front and the two massive hosses in the back. You'd look great.
Yeah.
Even though you're a little tiny guy.
I really wasn't paying attention to anything you just said.
You were. That's why you said that. I'm joking. You're not a little tiny guy. Anyway, the Singh brother, they're definitely little tiny guys, though. How tall do you think they are?
5'8".
Bollywood boys.
I'd say 5'8 or so.
Was it a boys? It was a boys with a Z.
Yes.
That makes sense. Wow, look at you. One is 5'10", one's 5'8".
There you go.
Well done. Anyways.
So I think AJ Styles is about 5'11". And yeah. They both look shorter than him.
They're also really skinny.
Yeah.
So anyways, hopefully, they'll find something for them to do. But
I hope so.
If not, they've made a name for themselves.
There's always 205 Live. They could go there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next up, there was an interview with the newly dubbed Riot Squad.
Yeah.
Now they're calling her Ruby Riot.
Yeah, there's a copyright thing apparently, or a trademark thing.
You got to have a couple more T's at the end of that name.
Yeah.
Ruby Riot.
Yes.
I love her. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's fantastic.
She's really
good. Talk about ready for freaking prime time.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was there with, of course, Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan. I always want to say Liv Tyler. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, it's a...
She was the other Liv.
Yeah, you're very familiar with that
in
name.
In my life.
Yeah.
You know, any kid growing up in the 90s was well aware of the Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
From the Aerosmith videos.
Yes, well, in her own successful movie career.
What was she in? Was she in Empire Records?
Yeah.
Okay, she's in Empire.
She was also in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Doesn't really.
No, I don't like those movies either. Yeah. Or I don't care for them. They're well-made films, but it's just not
what
my
else
thing.
Was she featured in, though? Because she was like a glowy princess person in the Lord of the Rings, right?
No, not really.
Wasn't she?
She was an elf.
Oh, I'm thinking of Kate Blanchett.
Yes.
She was a glowy princess.
Yeah, she
queen
was the elf queen or something like that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Wait a second. Liv Tyler was an elf?
Yeah.
Was she like a fancy pants with like shooting arrows and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was the girl from Lost in that, or was she in the prequels?
She was in The Hobbit.
Oh.
The Hobbit movies.
Okay. But Liv Tyler was in the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then what else? She was in Empire Records. That was a big one. That was a big one.
I feel like I'm forgetting something major that she did.
I think it was Empire Records, wasn't it?
No, there was something else.
She was Aragorn's wife, according to somebody in chat. She was in That Thing You Do. Really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in Armageddon.
Yeah, that featured a Bruce Willis in a comet, though. Or an asteroid, one of the two. Probably an asteroid.
Oh, U-Turn. Remember U-Turn?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Stone movie. Oh, Heavy, yeah.
Stealing Beauty. That was kind of a thing. Heavy, which one was Heavy? Heavy, which one was that?
It was the guy that did the Wolverine movie, the last one.
Heavy movie.
I forgot his name, the director. I think it was his first movie, James Mangold.
Oh, okay. Boy, I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
1995, what a great year. Anyways, moving on.
That was the Liv Tyler part of the show.
Yeah, that was our weekly Liv Tyler segment here on the SmackDown Recap.
So the other interview, Ruby Riott grabbed the mic. It's really impressive how seamlessly she has transitioned from being a face on NXT to being an all-out heel on SmackDown.
Yeah, man, she's great.
She's really good. She's good in the ring, too.
She introduced Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is a little bit better on the mic this time around. She called her the Firecracker.
I really feel like she needs new ring gear if she's going to be a heel.
I'm going to take the Larson tact here. I'm going to see how it goes. Because if Carmella sticks to that singlet of hers, which I think looks great,
yeah,
then it's okay.
Well, I'm not worried about confusion between Liv Tyler, Liv Morgan, and Carmella. It's just Liv Morgan's outfit is a very babyface outfit. Bright colors.
You think so?
Stars and stuff, yeah.
But it's the same thing Carmella wore, and she was a heel. Yeah, it's the same thing.
No, it's not quite the same.
It looks cool. I think her gear looks neat.
Especially in comparison to Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan.
Well, that's kind of true. But I don't know. I think it makes her stand out a bit. Okay, yeah, you got your druthers, man. Rebook her or repackage her.
Just more subdued colors, pretty much.
Like a Zack Snyder approach. Just the same thing, but duller colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, man, I like it to pop. You know, I like it. It's kind of like a Harley Quinn type thing. Because she's all kind of bubbly, but then she's kind of evil. I'm on board with that. The match is a little bit better this time around, too. We had a 3-on-3, a six-woman tag team match.
Yeah, Natalya, Charlotte, and Naomi against the Riott Squad.
What is it?
Riott
Thank you.
Squad.
Thank
you. Natalya walks out on her team very early in the match.
Yeah, because didn't somebody like no-sell her on a tag or something?
Something like that.
She's like, I need to get in there. I'm going to go talk to your manager.
Yeah,
and
it
she
was,
went to the back.
She just left. So it was a 3-on-2 match for a while, and then Naomi got attacked by the Riott Squad outside, took a nasty-looking bump against the barricade, and then Sarah Logan put the ring steps over her, kind of hoisted her up face-first into the ring steps, and right. WWE.com, I don't know if these are kayfabe injuries or not, reported that Naomi suffered a separated shoulder, a cervical sprain, so a neck sprain. And then...
facial lacerations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The last two, I don't believe. There might have happened something with the shoulder there.
That barricade spot looked rough.
Yeah, I know, because it was right on the corner. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was a more stiff area, and she went into it pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then her face afterwards looked like she actually was...
Hurt,
not selling.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's a difference there. If you're going, ah, then you're probably fine. If you're going like this, oh, God damn it, this is 3 months.
Yep.
Then you know it's bad.
Yep.
Next up, we had a Fashion Police Files.
Fashion Files, this time riffing on Saw.
Yeah, I mean, these are good just for the comedy. The Ascension were there. They were all locked up. They were all, like, chained up.
Yeah.
In, like, a shower of some sort or something.
Bathroom of
some sort. And there was, like, an iPad on the wall that said, the little jigsaw guy.
Jigsaw guy, yeah.
Showed up and said, you guys are all going to die if you don't... what was it? I forget what it was.
It was made a reference to Tully.
Yeah, that's right.
The horse.
So they found a key in the Tully's head.
The remains of Tully.
I feel like this is the kind of thing you just have to see it to get the humor of it.
essentially.
Because there's 0 point to it.
Oh, yeah, none.
And they leave the Ascension high and dry, even though the Ascension are saying, no, it's okay, you go save yourselves. And they're like, we're going to. That's exactly
and
what we're going to do.
Tyler Breeze kept on calling Victor Vincent.
Yeah. It was funny. It was good stuff, but you got to watch it. I mean, can't really explain the comedy there. Next up, Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. I want to preface this by mentioning something I read in Forbes today that said that there's the possibility because that there's that.
It seemed like a speculative report.
It seemed more speculative than anything concrete in terms of inside sources. But the belief that Kevin Owens might be receiving a big another big push. His 365 did really, really well on the network. His merchandise sales are really good. The Wrestling Observer himself, Dave Meltzer, tweeted something along the lines of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens house show matches sold really well, like boosted the attendance apparently when they were headlining. And so there was speculation on in Forbes anyways that he could be receiving a big push, and then he got a win.
Yes.
Even though it was kind of, you know, cloudy.
A little bit. There was enough time between Sami Zayn getting involved and Owens winning the match that you can say that it was assisted by Zayn, but Owens more or less won that clean.
Right, right. Yeah, the shenanigans were not that great.
No.
You know? And especially, here's the thing. If Sami Zayn really laid into those chair shots.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, like, it was a no DQ match, so from the beginning.
Zayn was barred from ringside.
And, yeah, which doesn't make any sense. But the kendo sticks came out, and so they were killing each other with kendo sticks.
Kevin Owens had, like, a pretty massive laceration on
his
arm.
This was a really fun match. They were doing some really fun stuff. There was a lot of brawling on the outside, some table bits, or some, like, commentary table bits. A lot of good moments in this. They end up going up the ramp, and then Sami Zayn comes down with a chair, and commentary really sells, well, he's not at ringside technically. He's up at the top of the ramp, which is where they happen to be.
Yeah.
And he gives Randy Orton the two babyest chair shots.
So gentle. It's the chair shot equivalent of Braun Strowman power slamming Kane into the ring steps.
But even more gentle than that. And I wonder if some of it was every time he was going to give a chair shot, Randy Orton like went over to, he just happened to be going over to the crowd to sort of get himself up on the barricade, you know, in character, of course.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Sammy's supposed to swing at him with a chair, but you have a fan, you know, if you got like three fans right there, right next to him. I wonder, because both chair shots, I feel, came right up against the barrier. I wonder if he was just like, well, crap, I have to do it now. I've loaded up, but he's
both
moved.
Chair
right
shots were also, it was to the lower body, it was to the legs. And the barricade was between Randy's legs and the people in attendance.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. They're weak.
The idea was that Sammy was working over Orton's knee or hamstring or something, which Owens had early in the match had done some damage to.
Right. And of course, if you're going to jump into an RKO, you need your legs.
Which we saw later in the match when we got back to the ring, where Orton tried to do an RKO but didn't have a strong enough vertical base.
Right. And so Owens was able to shove him off. I think there was a super kick and then a frog splash, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a good win for Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. I would like him to be booked. I mean, this was the match itself. I think he was booked strong enough because they're going to be doing the stuff with him and Sammy. And so that's good. It's just, I don't like the begging. I don't like the being scared of people.
Agreed.
I don't like that stuff. Like when he would betray his fright in the past in a different way. It came in the form of picking and choosing his spots. If he was in the ring with, like, say, Cena, and Cena was about to back him down, he would act like he was going to step up,
and then he'd roll
out of the ring. In this case, he's like, no, please, I don't want to fight.
I know, that kind of stuff. Kevin Owens should never be a cowardly heel.
I don't like that at all. No. I don't like that at all. But, you know, the bottom line is what we said holds true. This was a win with not, like, the shenanigans were not that great.
No.
You know?
No.
I mean,
and Zayn's involvement didn't seem like it really unto themselves turned the tides of the match.
Right, exactly. If this was like, for example, if this was Bray Wyatt fighting Randy Orton would have won.
Yeah,
you know, like when you think about the power rankings in, well, it doesn't matter because we're not going to do this. The power rankings within the scope of the universe.
Yes,
you know, this is something that Randy Orton would have pulled off, but they had Kevin Owens go over.
Yeah.
By the way, I think a push for Kevin. You know, I was really thinking about it, and you and I have always been big marks for Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Owens is one of my favorite wrestlers in the entire world.
Absolutely. And he's one of mine, too. And I think sometimes I just sort of take him for granted a little bit. But thinking about it, I used to think, you know, you're always sort of on the lookout for the next Stone Cold, for example, because everybody these days has sort of came up on Stone Cold. And for a while, it was like, well, I wonder if Dean Ambrose could be the next Stone Cold. And he can't. But he's got, I mean, he's a great promo guy. It's just the intensity seems to be kind of lacking there.
Dean Ambrose isn't that good of a wrestler either.
And he's not that good of a wrestler. Well, Stone Cold. Well, Stone Cold could bring some fire to his wrestling. Yeah.
Stone Cold was a good wrestler. He was a better wrestler before he got his neck hurt.
Yeah, that's true. Kevin Owens is a phenomenal wrestler. Mm-hmm. He's a great wrestler. I wish that they would give him the intensity that, and it's not, and I say give him because he has it.
Yeah.
Give him the leeway to use it. Give him the story arcs to use it. We've never seen him as a true, as a face at all. The closest is maybe borderline tweener with Jericho.
Yeah.
But if they really let him go all out with the intensity.
If they could find a way to pivot this Owen, Zane, Shane story, you know, I think the supposition is that Daniel Bryan is going to be the one authority figure on SmackDown that'll turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
What if it ends up being Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because as you said earlier, whatever Daniel Bryan does, the crowd is going to go along with it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's still super over.
Yeah.
So turn Shane heel.
Yeah.
And pivot Owen specifically and Zayn to be tweeners.
Yeah.
Fighting against a corrupt authority figure.
Yeah. Kevin Owens could be so massively, even as over as we know he kind of is now already as a heel. Man, he could be so much money.
Yeah.
And it's funny because especially when you watch the 365 thing, you see him go from program to program to program, and there never seems to be that sort of arc trajectory that we used to see with things like The Rock back then, where it's like, okay, well, this guy is super over, as he's got a lot of heel heat. Now let's transition that. It's not. It's just stumbling from one place to the next place to the next place. And it's like he can't be that hard on himself. Given that this is what they've been given him,
know,
you know?
I know.
So, I don't know. I actually wonder if part of his thing is going to end up being, well, are you going to demand it from Vince? Or are you going to accept? Because we both think that a lot of what we get from him comes from him, you know?
Yeah.
I just wonder if at any point he's going to, if there is a little bit more aggression that he can politic backstage with.
Well, I mean, based on, granted, I haven't seen the whole thing, but just that little clip of the Kevin Owens documentary. I mean, in the midst of WrestleMania, the craziness of WrestleMania, he's not afraid to go up to Vince and try to get some feedback.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So,
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, you know, we only get a glimpse of what life is like back there with him. And there definitely was sort of an element of, well, he's only been in the WWE, you know, on main roster for
a couple of years.
And so, you know, you can't expect him to be demanding this, demanding that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, he has all the qualities.
Oh, yeah.
All the qualities for to be a major, major player,
yep.
You know? And so, yeah. Anyways.
Hopefully he gets the opportunity to showcase those abilities to the fullest.
No kidding.
You want to answer some questions?
Good looking. Yeah, let's answer some questions.
Eddie, Jose, Glorious, Menevar, Power Rank. Top five other changes Mojo should make now that he's a heel.
Yeah.
Bring back the Zubaz shorts.
Yeah.
That's tops on my list.
I would say no. Definitely don't do that if you're a heel.
No, you should.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
No, it's great.
Zubaz shorts is a
heel?
Yeah,
man.
Who doesn't love a dude in Zubaz shorts? You gotta love a
but
dude.
He's a heel.
Yeah, no, but you're supposed to not love a bad guy.
I know, but it adds complexity to the character when you want to love him because he's wearing Zubaz shorts, but he's such a dastardly heel, Steve.
Yeah.
It's complexity.
Well, when I think of Mojo, I don't want complexity.
I think he wants complexity.
Yeah, maybe.
CM Punk finds it insulting.
I say, no, just this. Here's my answer. He always has a mysterious stain of blood on his face.
All right. You don't know whether it's his or someone else's?
No idea.
Yeah.
Every week is a little bit different, too.
I went through and liked some questions. I think they're all power rankings. Power rank board games you'd want to play.
What are you going to do for the patrons anyways?
Oh. Power rank board games you'd want to play with WWE wrestlers and or personalities. He says, pandemic with the New Day.
Board games?
Yeah.
Clue.
With whom?
The three-man band.
Okay. I'm going to play Settlers of Catan with the Wyatt family.
Oh, there you go.
Get Bray, get Luke, you get Rowan and Braun.
I want to play Dream Date with the Riot Squad. I'm sorry, the Riot Squad. Isn't Dream Date another board game?
I don't know.
I think it is, man.
I want to play Connect Four with Arne Anderson.
Dream Date, board game.
Okay, I've just never heard of it.
Really? You never heard of that? It was like a classic one.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Like, I don't remember. I never played it. I think I know about it. Because, like, different suitors would show up at the door.
Ah.
What is Heartthrob? Heartthrob? Was it Dream Date? Was it Mystery Date. Is it Mystery Date? Maybe it's I think it's Mystery Date. Oh, right. Mystery Date. Here we go.
All right.
The hell is this Wikipedia nonsense?
Who would you want to play the game of life with? Or life?
What was the point of that game? I never played it.
What, Monopoly? Monopoly with Million Dollar Man and IRS.
Man, you just no-sold my question. What was life all about? What was the game of life all about?
Well, isn't that a question we ask ourselves every day, Steve? What is life about?
Isn't there like a legit board game called The Game of Life?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, what is it about?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
You had a car.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Immediately, I can't relate. I have a car, but I don't really go anywhere.
That's true. You don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Like in The Game of Life on the board game, can you go across the street to the school? Can you drive your dog there? That's what I do every night.
I don't remember.
Sometimes I walk her. Anyways.
That's the way you put that. It may seem like, well, I could walk my dog or I could just drive her around. I know you drive her to place, so she can go run around. I know that.
Right.
But it's like it's a binary choice in your mind.
Yeah, pretty much. Just
do I walk my dog so she can go and take care of her business?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I just drive with her in the car?
Sometimes I do both. Sometimes like I'll drive her to the park across the street or to school. She goes and runs around. Then we hop in the car, then I'll drive her to Taco Bell. And get the response of the Taco Bell people.
More questions, please.
More questions.
Tokyo Dome Hayes. Book the indie show to sell out Madison Square Garden. Main event, Kenny Omega versus CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Another match, Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, there you go. The Young Bucks versus... The Young Bucks versus Ryback and Damian Sandow. Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Who else has been released? Oh, in women's action, Tennille, what's her name? Dashwood.
Yeah.
Versus, who else has been released? Summer Rae.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm just getting formerly released.
Matt Riddle.
Versus Alberto El Patron. That just happened. They just fought. I hope Riddle went over.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Moose.
Yeah.
Versus.
Oh, Moose versus Matt Riddle would be great. Oh,
I'd love that.
Pentagon Jr.
Yeah.
Versus.
Rey Mysterio.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's a good card.
That's a great card.
I'd travel to New York City to watch that.
I probably wouldn't, but...
You wouldn't go to New York City to watch CM Punk return to the ring?
I'd watch it on my Fight TV app.
What if it's not available?
It is.
I'm telling you it's not.
No, I'm telling you it is.
I'm telling you it's not.
You have just as much stroke in this whole
conversation. No, I'm telling you in this scenario it's not. It's not available.
In that hypothetical, it's not available.
Yes,
that's anywhere,
what I'm telling
you. Not on Twitch? No? House of Hardcore Twitch TV.
The only way you can see this show is by being there.
Well, that's not really good business acumen. Although I guess
if they want to sell out Madison Square Garden, it is.
The broadcast, yeah. I wonder if broadcast rights at Madison Square Garden are equally as high if they're live streaming and not on TV.
Could be.
Yeah, wow.
So
yeah, I'll go
to
New York.
You have to be there.
I'm there.
To see CM Punk return to the ring to see Daniel Bryan wrestle? Yes. Yes.
Tully Hernandez. First time patron here. Thank you, Tully.
Thank you very much.
Tully. What do you guys see Mojo's ceiling being now that he's a heel? I'll be honest, not very high.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him, though.
Look, man, I want him to do great. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm just not sure what you can really do after a guy has been the most... Like, let's face it. He was the most possible face a guy could be. You know, like anybody who's all up with life and is all happy and like, wow, this is great, 69 and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go heel at that point and have that great of a ceiling.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
I mean, I think that Zack Ryder should have been the heel here. People like Mojo.
They do.
Yeah. I don't know what he can do.
But I don't even see Zack Ryder as a heel. The idea is turning Zack Ryder heel to help get Mojo over. I don't really see that going huge places either.
There's a Mojo, Mr. Mojo Ryder. That's what he calls himself, Mr. Mojo.
There you go. Tommy T, hey friend, knows my question is, do you think the hardcore fan base undervalues WWE homegrown stars because, just to name a few, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and John Cena, almost every one of them are hated by hardcore fans, but all three are some of the best all-around workers in the business today? I wouldn't say they're hated. I mean, Randy Orton still gets a pretty decent pop when he comes out. He doesn't get the mixed reaction that Cena or Reigns does.
I think traditionally, the hardcore fans, I think at some point they liked Randy Orton because he used to punt people in the head, and who doesn't love that? Mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, yeah. I mean, I can kind of connect the dots there. That the hardcore fans are more apt to love what they saw. They're more apt to love to see their guy, like Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn, come up and reach the big time after following them on the indie circuit.
Yes.
I think there's already an inherent built-in, I want to see this guy succeed attitude, as opposed to, you know, oh, well, this guy got churned out by the machine. We didn't get to see all that stuff. So yeah, I could see that. Do they undervalue WWE? I don't know if it's necessarily they undervalue homegrown stars. I think it's just they have a predilection towards people that they might have come up with as fans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to that.
That might be it.
Henry Harris, Power Rank reasons Randy Orton has been growing out his hair in or out of kayfabe. We talked about this before we started. Similar to how I was growing out my hair, because I know in fairly short order I'm going to lose a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of have one last hurrah with long hair, but I found out that my hair will only grow so long.
Bad idea, yeah.
So I just cut it all off.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way, man. I might try to grow mine out long. You know, watching a lot of those intros, like, oh, man, I kind of like my hair a little bit longer.
But here's what I noticed about Orton. It seems like he's got a good head of hair on him still.
Yeah, I know. He has nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
He looks like he's freaking 20 years old in the hair department.
So I thought, I don't know if there's any truth to this, because I haven't heard anything about it. Maybe he's grown his hair out for a movie.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, maybe.
His hair is growing really fast, though. It seems like a matter of 3 weeks, and it's already that long.
I know.
It's pretty crazy.
I envy that.
Karen. What is your take on flipping an NXT superstar's character when they go to Maine? Bobby was a heel, but on SmackDown, he is now a face. Ruby, Liv, and Sarah were all face, but now they're heels in the Riot Squad. Riot Squad. Is it beneficial when SmackDown seems so heel heavy at the moment?
The Bobby Roode thing blows my mind. He could have already been top heel.
Yeah.
He could have absolutely already been top heel.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. If it works, then I'm fine with it. But I don't think we've seen any evidence. If somebody's so
successful in NXT, like Bobby Roode
was, if it fits so much with them doing one thing, like Ruby Riott, I'm okay with. Simply because I think she can handle being a heel very well. Yeah.
And as you know, she was in NXT for a relatively short time.
Yeah,
she
right.
Her entire tenure in NXT, but wasn't she wasn't established to the same extent that Bobby Roode was. As a face, you know.
Yeah, I mean the heel sort of crop on SmackDown across the board is a fairly weak one. I mean, you've got.
It's Owens, Corbin, or the top two.
Owens, Corbin. Where's Rusev? Where is Rusev?
He's below Corbin.
Yeah, but where? He wasn't even on SmackDown. Him and Shinsuke weren't on SmackDown?
I know.
Really?
I know.
Anyways. I don't know. I mean, look, NXT, you know, what have you always said? That's where you build your brand. And then if you come up to Maine and they wholesale change your brand, what the hell were you there for? Just to learn TV production, how it works?
Well, Bobby Roode would know that already.
Yeah, come on, dude. He was in TNA.
I understand.
He didn't know how about TW, like a real TV production works.
Well, I mean, he knows more than some of the signees who've just been strictly on the independents.
Maybe.
I'm saying for Bobby Roode, that's like an afternoon of practice, and he can get
up
to speed.
Yeah, no, I got you.
He doesn't need to be in NXT for a year.
That is definitely true.
Just to learn the ins and outs of WWE's TV production.
Yeah.
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 You want to do trivia now? Do you want to answer more questions?
Trivia.
Trivia. Stay tuned.
We got our big chat trivia tournament of champions.
The very first tournament
champions. It's not actually a tournament, though.
Well, kind of is. This is the first round. I mean, you know, every week we have a winner. And this week we have the first batch of winners. Whoever wins this goes on to the annual tournament of champions.
Right, but
so at the end of each year.
This is not a tournament right now, what we're doing today.
Between you and I?
No, between the chat.
Yeah, it is. The first round was everybody.
Okay.
And now this is just the winners of each week. And whoever wins this advances. Oh. So it is, in a sense, a tournament.
But this is a singular thing we're doing today.
But it's part of a larger thing, a tournament.
If we did it today, a tournament would be... But today is a but we're calling today a tournament, but today is not a tournament.
It's part of a tournament. Yes, I know. Tournament of champions.
It's part of a larger tournament.
Tournament of champions is just straight from Jeopardy.
Yeah, I know. That's why I like saying it.
Yeah, me too.
It's rad.
But it is part of a tournament. What are you starting with?
Today is more like a Royal Rumble. It's like a last man. Yeah, it's like a Royal Rumble.
Kind of.
Yeah. Chat Trivia Rumble. What are we starting with? Classic.
Classic.
It's got Jake the Snake and Roddy Piper on it. Weird that... I mean, this is before the Hogan stuff. Why isn't Hogan on here?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird, right?
It's 2011. This before he. This is when he was still in TNA, though.
Oh, good point. All right, big events.
Yeah.
How many men competed in the first Royal Rumble match in January of 1988?
20.
Very good.
What was the unusual stipulation of the match between Jake the Snake Roberts against the model Rick Martel at WrestleMania 7?
Blindfold match.
Yeah.
Championships. 1997's In Your House Ground Zero saw masked American hero The Patriot challenge what anti-American WWE champion for the title?
That was Bret Hart.
Very good.
Who became WWE's first Grand Slam champion when he beat the British Bulldog for the European Championship September 1997?
HBK.
Uh-huh.
Superstar Bio.
Uh-huh.
Who defeated Ric Flair in a Loser Leaves WWE match on a January 1993 episode of Raw?
Mr. Perfect.
I feel like we've had this card before.
Superstar Bio.
Okay.
What famous WWE manager is credited with coining the phrase pencil neck geek?
Classy Freddie Blassie.
Uh-huh.
Big events.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need new cards, dude. What muscular former WCW champion unsuccessfully challenged Triple H for the world revenue, you bastard?
Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Who challenged JBL for the WWE Championship in a barbed wire steel cage match at No Way Out 2005?
John Cena.
Well.
Oh, crap. What a bummer. Championships. What Hall of Fame tag team did the New Age Outlaws, oh, you didn't know, defeat in November 1997 for their first World Tag Team Championship?
Oh, I'm blanking on this one. Hall of Fame tag team? Legion of Doom.
What a rush.
Who won the World Heavyweight Championship in the first ever Elimination Chamber match in 2002?
Triple H.
Shawn Michaels.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That's what it says here.
The Moops. Superstar Bio. What WWE faction invaded WCW driving a tank to whatever?
DX. Six. Good clean job. Sweep.
Six.
What was the name of the stable of competitors that included Taka Michinoku, Funaki, Dick Togo, and Yamaguchi-san?
Oh, that was, it was,
Come on, Steve.
Oh my God, I know, I'm totally
blanking. Why are you blanking on this?
This is so stupid, I'm blanking, but I know what it is. Oh my God! Oh, I forget their name. Doesn't matter
anymore.
Take
a guess.
Yeah, I forget now.
Kai and Tai.
Oh, yeah, Kai and Tai. That's right. I forgot.
One card for me, Trish Stratus. Second card for me, Mark Henry. Third card for me, Rikishi.
Oh, wow.
Quite the haul.
Wow. Very impressive. Very good job.
Good week for Larson. Clean sweep.
Excelente. Anyways, I want to say thanks to everybody for watching. We appreciate it. We got to do, what was that other game I wanted to do? Oh, yeah, memorize dialogue.
Yeah.
That's a great, I love that idea. That's
a great. So poorly.
Oh, it's going to be great. Anyway, so am I. Anyways, that's it for now. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.